Thank you, Brother Lynn. Glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Some are. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. All right. Yes, it's been a great week. I really enjoyed VBS, and I really enjoyed the Weilers, and it was definitely a blessing to see their ministry for the week. See those little young people, and they were excited. It was a good time. Superman. Many that are probably in my age were probably, maybe some of you are into comic books. Any comic book people when you were kids in middle school? Just me, I'm the only weird one. There's a few raising their hands. I was really into comic books and superheroes and that sort of thing. And Spider-Man's my favorite, but Superman was definitely one of the guys that was up there. And you think about Superman, how he, of course, he came from another planet, and because of our sun, he had super strength and super speed and was able to fly and leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Superman. But before he was Superman, he was what? Clark Kent. Mild-mannered reporter, playing the part of the nerd with the glasses. I always wondered, though, it's just glasses. How could you not see it was Superman? It's just a pair. It wasn't a mask. It was a pair of glasses. But he was in disguise as Clark Kent until it was time for him to suit up, jump into the phone booth, and all of a sudden became Superman. I know most in here that are under the age of 40 says, what's a phone booth? Is that a place where you take your cell phone? Remember the days? Put the quarter in? Remember those days you need to make a phone call and you didn't have a quarter? And then when you were in the phone booth, didn't you feel like an animal? People are like standing, are you almost done? Are you almost done? They're all looking inside while you're trying a phone call. What we're going to talk about this morning is that it is time to suit up. It is time to suit up. Last week, we talked about putting on the whole armor of God. The full, the complete armor. To stand against the wiles, the methods, the schemes of the devil. And that we wrestle or struggle or contest not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against authorities, against cosmic powers or spiritual forces. And that in order for us to be able to do that, we need a spiritual power that we get from God. We need to put on or strap on this morning the whole, the full, the complete armor of God. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking specifically at the armor of God, breaking down each part of the soldier's armor piece by piece. We'll start that this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time here today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the guidance that we get from it each and every day of our lives. I thank you for these precious writings by the Apostle Paul and the encouragement that he was giving to the church of Ephesus, and the encouragement that he is giving through these words, these inspired words, to Grace Bible Church this morning. So, Lord, I pray that your presence would be evident. I pray that Satan and any demons would flee as we work through the Word of God this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you will have your hand upon me this morning, fill me with your Spirit, enable me this morning, and I pray that you be glorified by everything that is said behind this pulpit today. We love you and thank you. We say this in Jesus' name. Amen. So looking at the armor of God, we got the belt of truth. The belt of truth, which is the truth that we gain or we know or we get from the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness, which is that right living according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God, living a pure life for Christ. We also have the feet prepared with the gospel of peace, and that Jesus Christ needs to be the foundation of our lives, especially when we go through trials and tribulations and difficulties in life, but then also that we need to be prepared to share the gospel of peace, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the shield of faith, which is the faith that we have in the Word of God, the faith that we have in the Lord and the promises that He gives us in our lives. The helmet of salvation, which is accepting Jesus Christ, trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for salvation, but then also for the forgiveness of sins. And then last but not least, the sword of the Spirit, which is strength and wisdom that we gain from the Word of God and His Holy Spirit as an offensive weapon against our enemy. Now, before VBS, when we started this part of the word on the armor of God, we really kind of geared it towards fathers because it was Father's Day, and that it was important for fathers to embrace the truth that putting on the whole, the complete, the full armor of God is for our benefit as fathers. But it's also important as fathers that we realize the benefit putting on the whole armor of God is for our families and for our children, but then also equipping them to do the same. Because as fathers, it is our responsibility as the high priests of our home to make sure that our family, our children, our wives are equipped to withstand a relentless enemy. But the reality is that we all need the armor of God. We all need the whole, the complete armor of God, because our enemy is equal opportunity. Doesn't matter how old you are. He looks to attack children, teenagers, young adults, those in the 30s that maybe are married and have little children, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 100. Doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter the sex, male or female. Doesn't matter, male or female. Put that plug in there. Unfortunately, we have to do that today. You know, doesn't matter our race. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian. Doesn't matter the culture. He's equal opportunity, and he's going to do whatever he can, especially against believers, to attack us and to try to defeat us in our Christian lives and our Christian walk. But I have some really good news. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we have victory this morning. Too many Christians are running around living discouraged, defeated lives when we have victory in Jesus. One of my favorite hymns. Victory in Jesus. John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Go ahead and turn to John chapter 10. We're going to take a look at that verse a little bit more specifically here. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, starting in verse 10. It says, "The thief," or the devil, "cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come," Jesus Christ, "I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly." We look at the phrase, "they might have," and the Greek for that is akousin, which also reflects the mentality of "they may have." Now, when someone asks you for something and they say, "Hey, can I have whatever it is?" That's really portraying more of the ability. So my son, he says, "Hey, can I have a drink of your soda, Dad?" "Oh no, can you? Are you able to? Are you able to grab it and drink it?" "Oh, you mean may I have a drink?" Which really reflects the idea of permission. Can is ability. May is permission. Well, Jesus Christ here is saying that you have permission to get victory in Jesus Christ. Jesus came so that we could get victory over the devil, and not only have life, but have an abundant life. Have a joyful life. Have a blessed life. Have a victorious life. Now listen, that does not, because preachers all over the country are trying to, most of them on the TV, are trying to make it seem like the Christian life's easy. Trust Christ as trust Jesus as Savior, and oh, you'll have blessings and increase. But trusting Christ as Savior does not necessarily mean our road, our life is going to be easy. We may have to go through persecution. We may have to go through suffering. But the interesting thing is, so how do we have joy in that? Well, we have joy in that knowing that the suffering that we are going through is for the cause of Jesus Christ. The suffering that we are going through brings glory to our Lord and Savior. So just because we trust Christ does not necessarily mean that we're not going through suffering and persecution, but we should still have a blessed, joyful, victorious life in Jesus Christ. Now the words here, might or may, are not absolute words. They're not words of certainty, which brings the free will of man into play. It's our choice. It's our choice to trust Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Or we could choose not to. God's never forced anyone to come to a saving knowledge or acceptance of Jesus Christ. We have a choice. We can either choose to trust Christ and live for Christ, or we can choose not to. We can choose to be faithful to Jesus Christ and live according to the Scriptures as believers, or we could choose not to. We could choose to live a rebellious life. I'm sure many of you may know those believers that have fallen away from the Lord and aren't living the way that they should. And it really just reflects the truth that we have a choice. We can choose to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ and live according to the Scriptures, or we could choose not to. That's the free will of man. Because God doesn't want us as robots. Anybody feel good if someone, if your parent paid someone to be your friend? I would feel real good if I knew that my dad was paying somebody $10 every week to be my friend. I want him to be my friend because he wants to be my friend. He's choosing to be my friend. God wants us to choose him. And we have a choice whether we can put on the whole armor of God or we can choose not to. We can choose to put on the armor of God and stand against the attacks and the deception and deceits of Satan, or we can choose not to. We can put on some of them, part of them, maybe none of them, and not be able to decipher the lies, the deception, and the attacks of the enemy. But Jesus came so that we could have eternal life. He also came so that while we're here on this earth, our temporary time period, while we are on this earth, we can live a prosperous, joyful, and victorious life in Christ. But it comes back to this: the choice is ours. Jesus Christ said on the cross, "It is finished." And he meant it. And now the choice is ours. So first we're going to look at the choice to strap on the belt of truth. Strap on the belt of truth. If you want to go back to our text in Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 13 and 14 here. It says, verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done nothing, done all to stand." Verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." We're going to look at the first part of verse 14 there. "Standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." And that's the belt of truth. John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, Satan attacks with lies and deceptions. He tries to make believers be convinced that God doesn't care about you. God's forgotten you. How many times have you sat there and maybe had spent a period of time in prayer about something? Maybe it's being delivered from a thorn in the flesh, or maybe it's for healing or financial situations, and you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed, and maybe God's just telling us to wait. But during that time of waiting, Satan's gone. He's forgotten about you. He doesn't care about your situation. He doesn't care about you. Trying to cause doubt and unbelief in our lives. Satan is using lies and deceptions. But we have to realize that sometimes he uses lies that sounds like truth. Lies that sounds like truth. I didn't tell this young man I'm going to use him this morning, but I'm going to give him a little heart attack. Noah, come on up, bud. How's it going? Good. I'm going to hit you, but don't hit me back. Okay. So I know he works out. I don't want to get embarrassed here and start something. But we all know that I hit him and that was what? I was wrong, right? Because there's a difference between truth and being right. And so hitting him, everyone in this room would say, that was absolutely wrong. But it was truth. Because I did hit him. And Satan tries to utilize truths and twist truths in our lives to make us think that it's from God when it's not. It's from him. It's his voice. It's not the voice of truth. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I didn't hit you too hard, did I?
No.
All right. You know, we see this specifically where Satan twisted the truth in the garden. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. As we look at this conversation between Satan and Eve. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of it. Every tree of the garden?" Verse 2, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." What did he do in verse 4? He says, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Satan twisted the word of God to deceive Eve. And she allowed temptation to overwhelm her and commit a sin that between her and Adam we are dealing with today. The curse that plagues all mankind as Satan deceived her and twisted the truth of God's word. And that's what he tries to do in our lives. He will try to twist truth to deceive us. And that's why it's so important in our lives that we listen to the voice of truth. We listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and not that little devil on our shoulder trying to get us to think wrong, do wrong, doubt God, be sin of unbelief as we've been looking about in Hebrews. How the Jewish believers were struggling with now getting hearts of unbelief against God and returning to Judaism. He's trying to do that in our lives to get us to doubt how great our God is. I was at the senior center this past Thursday and we were looking at Abram and when God was trying to reassure him of the blessings that he'd promised him, he said, "Gaze up at the stars." Whenever you have moments of doubt about how great God is or how much he cares or how much he longs to give us the promises and the blessings that he's given us in his word, if you start to doubt, go outside at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock on a clear night and gaze up at the stars and try to count them all, because it's impossible. You can't possibly count all the stars, which shows how great our God is, and there's nothing that he can't do. There's nothing impossible for God. But not only do believers have God's truth from his word, but we also can utilize his Holy Spirit in our lives to decipher the lies and deceptions of the devil. The question is this: do we strap on the belt of truth, or do we allow ourselves to be deceived by Satan and his lies and twisting the truth? John 10:10, what does the devil do? The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came that we may have eternal life, but then also an abundant life. But again, it goes back to the free will of man. It's our choice whether we're going to strap on the whole armor of God or we're going to utilize the belt of truth in our lives. Turn to John chapter 8. A little bit of flipping this morning. I hope you don't mind. John chapter 8. I mentioned one of these verses already, but we're going to take a more detailed look at this. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Sounds like you guys are there. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews," what? "Which believed on him." So we know he's talking to Jewish Christians here. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And of course, "then" is in italics, which means it was added by the translators. "If ye continue in my word, are ye my disciples indeed." You are my disciples if you continue in my word. Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, of course, to start verse 31, or as his comment there, the word "if" again reflects the fact that it's our choice. If or when this happens. The word "continue" in the Greek is menete. Menete, which means to abide. To abide, which means to withstand, to persevere under, to accept. So if we choose to abide, accept Jesus Christ, His promises, and His word, then, He says, we are truly His disciples. We are truly followers of Jesus Christ. So we've established that we're believers. We now choose to abide or continue or accept His word and be followers of Jesus Christ. Once we have established that we are disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, then, verse 32, "then ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Kenos este is the Greek for "you shall know," which also could be translated "and you will know." So once we choose to abide, continually to accept and live according to the word of God and as a follower of Jesus Christ, then we will know the truth, and the truth will make us or set us free. There's probably no greater... how should I word this? There's no greater, you probably can't see any greater dramatic change than when someone is in bondage and then free. We talked about Superman there at the beginning, and he's in the chains, and maybe there's some kryptonite near him, and he's weak, and he can't break the chains, and somebody takes the kryptonite and they throw it out into the ocean, and all of a sudden he gets a strength, he breaks through the chains. He goes from being in bondage to now free. Well, that's what Jesus Christ wants to happen in our lives. To go from being in bondage, of course, this is before accepting Christ as Savior, we are in bondage to the God of this world, bondage to sin, to then freedom in Jesus Christ when we trust Him as Savior. But then also in our lives as believers, many of us are strapped in bondage to discouragement or depression or feeling defeated in our lives or maybe in bondage to sin. And Jesus is saying, listen, if you choose to abide in my word, accept, continue my word, then you are my disciples, you're my followers. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you or set you free. And that's what He wants for us, is have a free life in Christ. Free from the lies and deceptions of our enemy. Now go back to Ephesians here. We're going to take a look at something else here in a little bit more detail. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. The first two words of verse 14. "Stand therefore." Stand therefore. Now this is the fourth time He gives this exhortation to the believer. But this time, he gives this exhortation with the expression of a drill sergeant. With the emphasis of a drill sergeant. You know, in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." It says, I beseech you, I exhort you, I encourage you. But here in verse 14, he's saying, stand, stete. Stete, which is a verb which we know from the English language demonstrates action. It's in the second person, but it's also interesting here that it's in the aorist tense. And I know many may not understand what that means, because in English we have past tense, present tense, and future tense. But the aorist tense is very interesting, because what it does is it is action without limits. In other words, there's no limits on time. So it is an unlimited amount of time, an unlimited future. So we should have been standing, therefore, in the past, before this particular moment. We should have been doing that already. We should be standing, therefore, in the present, but then we also should be standing, therefore, in the future, the unlimited future. Also, we see that it's in the imperative mood, which just demonstrates a command. But it's an urgent command. It's a command with the attempt of one person to exert the force of his will upon the will of another. So in other words, Paul is demonstrating an incredible urgency here to stand, therefore. Now, we can look at standing, and it doesn't seem like we're doing much, right? We're standing. It doesn't seem like much going on. There's a difference between being still and doing nothing. You know, stand, therefore. So you don't think that's much effort? Try to stand in a Category 1 hurricane and tell me that you're not doing something. Try to stand in the ocean when it's a red flag day and the waves are 6 to 8 feet and they're trying to hit you. Try to stand and then say that you're not doing anything. You know, there's a saying, stand for something or you will fall for anything. And so he's exhorting these believers to stand. Therefore, stand for Jesus Christ. Stand for the Word of God. Stand for our Father in heaven. Stand for what is right. Stand against what is wrong. Are we doing that? Are believers today in 2019 standing for Jesus Christ? Are we standing for the Word of God? Are we standing for those that say there is no God? Or against those that say there's no God? Are we standing for what is right and standing against what is wrong? We might come to the place very soon where we need to. And here he's talking about standing against the schemes, the lies, the deceptions of an enemy, with the mentality that moving away or falling away from God is not an option. You're talking about stand, therefore, and you're going to stand for Jesus Christ. You better realize that it's an action. You better realize it's a command. And it's something that we need to do as believers. This world's got to see Christians stand therefore. Stand therefore. There's a difference. They have to see that in our lives. And that starts with strapping on the belt of truth, a vital garment of that day. The girdle about the loins held in place every part of the uniform of the soldier. It was vital in every aspect of that uniform, and it was essential, especially in battle. It'd be kind of hard to fight somebody with a sword if you're holding your pants up, right? It'd be kind of tough. If you had to switch, where's the shield? You can't hold the shield and your pants at the same time. It was a vital part of the uniform. Now, when it comes to the Word of God as the belt of truth, are we utilizing it daily in our lives? We talked about putting on some of the armor and maybe part of the armor. You know, if we don't utilize the Word of God daily in our lives, we are opening ourselves up to great devastation. You know, it's not okay to just pick it up on Sunday. We have to pick it up every day of our lives and embrace the truths that we get in it, or we're not going to be able to decipher from the lies, the deceptions, and the twists of truth from the devil. We have to pick up the belt of truth. We need to know the truth from the God's Word, but we also need to share truths from God's Word. You know, we just finished VBS, and many of us poured our whole week into these children and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in hopes that souls are saved, or teaching them the importance of prayer. But VBS is over. Does that mean we're done? Till next VBS? Or is it something we do tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and next month and next year? It can't be something that we just stop. We have to strap on the belt of truth in our own lives, but we also have to share the truth with those that are lost. Second, we see that we need to strap on the breastplate of righteousness. Verses 13 and 14 again, it says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Satan's main target is the heart. The breastplate protects the heart and the vital organs. And Satan looks to attack our hearts because it is the seat of our emotions, our self-worth. And he's looking to attack our heart to try to cause discouragement, despair, depression, defeat. He's looking to attack the heart. But at salvation, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. That means credited to us. It means it is attributed to us. When we trust Christ as Savior, we put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's our protection. It's our breastplate against the arrows of the enemy. You know, with Christ in us at salvation, the righteousness of Christ is now implanted in us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Christ in us. And then we become a new creature in Christ. We put on the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness in Christ is now implanted in us. You think about someone who has maybe been waiting a really long time for a heart transplant. And they finally get the call that they've found a heart. And so they go and they get their heart put in, this heart that they've been needing. Now, of course, that, you know, doesn't suffer, you know, rejecting the heart. The body doesn't reject the heart. That heart is now inside them. It's part of them. And the righteousness of Jesus Christ, when we trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, his righteousness is now implanted in us as our breastplate to fortify the heart against Satan's attacks. Christ is the righteousness of the believer. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet and the hope of salvation." You know, faith and love are key Christian graces. By faith, we are united with Christ. By love, we are united with brothers and sisters in Christ. Or by love, we now have a burden and compassion for the lost. You know, God's word tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. But through Christ, we strap on the righteousness of Christ that protects us, protects our heart from the arrows of the wicked one. Only the righteousness of Christ can enable the believer to stand before God and before men. Now again, going back to the heart transplant plant. If we are fortunate enough to ever be able to get a heart, if we need a heart and you go through the waiting list and hopefully, you know, your damaged heart or your sick heart lasts long enough until your number's called and you get the heart and the heart transplant takes place. If we're fortunate enough for that to happen, how are we going to treat that new heart? Are we going to start drinking alcohol and smoke cigarettes and eat pizza every day, every meal? For those that think pizza's good for you. No, we're going to treasure that heart. We're going to eat right. Probably drink nothing but water. You know, we're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that that heart stays healthy. When you talk about the breastplate of righteousness, you know, we need to make sure that our hearts are pure. We have Jesus Christ now indwelling in our heart. Are we treasuring that heart? Are we living a pure life? Are we living an obedient life according to the Word of God? One that keeps us in a right relationship with the Lord? Third, we strap on the shoes of peace. The shoes of peace. Starting verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, Satan will try to prevent the sharing of the gospel. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as I finish up here. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, Satan is trying to do whatever he can to deceive this world, to keep them blinded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is the gospel hid in our lives? Are we hiding the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we the light of Jesus Christ for a dark world who's seeking light? I mean, when you're in the dark, what's the first thing you're doing? You're kind of, where's the light switch? Where's the light switch? Because I want to turn the light on. I'm tired of being in the dark. And whether they know it or not, they're searching for the light. Are we the light? Are they seeing God glorified in our lives through our testimony? Are we putting on the shoes of the gospel of peace? Are we prepared? Are we ready to share the gospel? Because the gospel brings peace. The gospel brings peace. When we trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we went from being enemies of God, according to the Word of God. We were enemies of God, and now through Jesus Christ, we are now children of God. It also brings peace with ourselves. Try to remember before you trusted Christ as Savior, the guilt maybe you felt over things that we did. Maybe not forgiving ourselves, had a hard time forgiving ourselves when through Jesus Christ, we saw what true forgiveness really was. And then after Christ, we were able to maybe move past that guilt, move past the lies and the deceptions of the enemy, and say, you know what, Jesus Christ died for you. He died for all of your sins. Forgive yourself. Maybe it's forgiving someone else. Once we realize true forgiveness and that God forgave us for our sins, we're able now to forgive someone else, forgive others. You know, strapping on shoes prepared to share the gospel of peace is vital to a lost world. We have to realize that. We have to be ready and prepared to not only fend off the deception of the enemy, but also put on feet prepared with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, my dad and I, we used to be Civil War buffs together, and we'd enjoy studying the Civil War. And one of the things that was interesting to me in studying the different battles and the war in general was that, you know, the war was decided for many reasons, but it wasn't just because of military numbers or military strategy. A lot of the battles were decided just because of military funding, because soldiers did not have the proper military boots. And they would get cuts and infections and gangrene, and they had to go through all these difficulties in battle. The boots are vital for a firm foundation in battle. And that's the picture we're getting here, is that the shoes prepared with the gospel of peace is something, it's a foundation that we should be establishing in Jesus Christ. But not only in our lives, but also in sharing the gospel of peace with others. I'm sure many of you right now could recite 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready, what? Always. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is, what? In you, with meekness and fear. You know, sanctify, to set apart as sacred, to consecrate. We should be setting ourselves apart as sacred, or consecrating ourselves to the Lord in our hearts, so that we are always ready to share that hope, because they don't have any. They don't have any. They need to see the hope, the blessed hope of Jesus Christ in our lives. They have to see that, but then we also have to be ready to share that. Share that hope to a world that doesn't know Christ, that has no hope. No blessed hope of an eternity in heaven. Are we prepared? You know, VBS is over. Are we prepared to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we putting on Christ to protect our hearts? Living a pure life before Jesus Christ? Living an obedient life to the Word of God? Are we keeping our uniforms and our lives in the truth of God's Word? Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Are we living lives in bondage to the enemy? Or are we living in liberty in Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you again for our time.